Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, April the 13th. A very lovely day today here, lots of sunshine, but it was like 42 when we woke up this morning. Where did that come from? I mean, that's kind of, I don't remember days like that too much around here. It's going to be, I guess, for the next couple of days, we're going to have temperatures 39, 42 in the morning. Look, that's, I love it, but it's a bit unusual for this time of the year here in mid-April. Well, today we're going to talk about three primary issues, the news conference that we just saw this afternoon, or the briefing, and a couple of issues that came up in that news conference, Dr. Fauci, and going back to work. You know, when is that going to happen? But let's talk a little bit about the briefing, or I call it a press conference, a briefing, whatever you want to call it. I thought this was the most effective that President Trump has been in quite some time. He really came out. You could tell he had a mission when he came out. And of course, he was angry at all the reports that he saw in the press over the last 24 hours about, you know, the interview with Dr. Fauci. And let's kind of set the table. It's very important. Dr. Fauci is a very nice man, but he's a scientist, and he's not up to speed a lot of times with reporters who have an agenda, okay? And Jake Tapper of CNN obviously has an agenda, and the agenda is to create problems for President Trump. Remember, CNN, as we've talked about it before, CNN is a network that has invested itself in this anti-Trump message. It's not helping them in the ratings, but nevertheless, they're very much invested in that message. So, you know, Mr. Tapper invited Dr. Fauci, and you know, they were going through a bunch of questions, and Dr. Fauci was just being Dr. Fauci. He was being a nice man, and you know, Tapper kept trying to see how he could get the doctor to criticize President Trump. And he couldn't, because Dr. Fauci kept saying, well, you know, second guessing and all of that. So then he finally asked him a question, and unfortunately, Dr. Fauci fell in the trap. And the question was, well, looking back, you know, if we had started earlier, could you honestly say that, you know, we could have saved some lives? Obviously, Dr. Fauci, again, thinking like a scientist, answered the question, well, of course, yeah, if we had done this earlier, you know, if the captain of the Titanic had changed the speed of the ship maybe before he went to bed that night, they wouldn't have hit the iceberg. You know, those kinds of what-if questions that are absolutely worthless in a real-world situation. So Dr. Fauci answered the question, and then, of course, for the next 24 hours, all we're hearing everywhere is that Dr. Fauci and President Trump are at odds with each other. You had headlines about Fauci unloading on President Trump. I mean, it got really, really nasty. And I have a post about this coming out tomorrow where I called on Dr. Fauci to do exactly what he did, which is to get up there and say, look, you know, I was answering a hypothetical question, but everything that I've recommended to the president has been accepted, which is exactly true. I mean, why do you think we're shut down? I mean, do you think President Trump wanted to shut down the economy? When he talks about the greatest economy, he's not lying. In February of 2020, just 45 days ago, we had an amazing economy with levels of employment that we had not seen before, levels of unemployment in the Hispanic and African-American community that we had not seen before. I mean, it was just an absolutely amazing economy that was roaring. And then, of course, you have to shut it down. That creates all of the other economic problems that we have. But Dr. Fauci basically came out and defended President Trump, which, of course, left the members of the media absolutely stunned, because I'm sure they had all kinds of questions about how President Trump and Dr. Fauci don't get along. And then even a lady reporter said, well, are you doing this voluntarily, Dr. Fauci? And I think you could see that Dr. Fauci got pretty angry, and he said, hey, come on, I do things voluntarily, don't imply that. And that was pretty much the end of the Dr. Fauci story. But then, of course, President Trump really did a great one. He showed this video of people in the media basically saying that there was no threat from this virus. Look, this was very effective today, and I think anybody watching this had to see what I think a lot of us saw, and that is that President Trump is working, trying to get things done, but there is an element of the news media that just seems obsessed with the negatives. And I have to tell you, I'm sure that there's people out there who hate Trump. I've already seen some of their postings about how, you know, Trump is out of control. I think a lot of Americans, though, if there's a competition between President Trump and the news media, President Trump is winning that competition, because I really believe that one of the things that we've seen in these briefings is, frankly, how silly the media can get. And I think we saw that today. I understand one of the networks was talking about this later, calling it propaganda and all of that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, I guess it was propaganda, but it's no different than the propaganda that they run. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, they can dish it out, but they cannot take it back. And I think President Trump today gave it right back to them. He just gave it right back to them. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did, because I think this second guessing and going back and trying to say this and trying to say that, first of all, it's totally dishonest, but more important than that, it's totally completely counterproductive to what we need in the country right now. The people who are watching these briefings are sitting at home. Many of them don't have jobs because their jobs, they lost their jobs. Many of them are trying to figure out how they're going to survive the next 30 days. Do you think a lot of them are obsessed with what somebody said 2 months ago? No. They want to be a part of the solution. They want to get their jobs back. They want to get their economy back. They want to get their budgets back. And they want to, you know, get their families back. I'm sure this is having a terrible stress on family life, you know, when you've got mom and dad at home and dad is working from home and the kids are going to school at home. I mean, this is putting a lot of pressures on families. And that's what Trump is focusing on. And these media people are just asking, you know, let me trip him here, let me trip him there. I don't think it's working. I really don't. So I thought this was a super effective briefing. You know, you don't want to do this every day. But frankly, I mean, I think the media deserved it, just absolutely deserved it, or many elements of the media just absolutely deserved it. And I'm very happy to see that the president did it. I thought it was just an absolutely, absolutely necessary thing to do, and I thought it was a very effective thing that he did. It was super effective the way that it was set up in those videos. There's some media people going bonkers over that video that he showed. You know why? Because it was super effective, because everybody got to see the hypocrisy of these people. If you go back and you look at what they were saying, they weren't saying anything different than anybody else was saying. They were saying, hey, we're not sure this is big, or we're not sure this is as bad as it is in China or whatever. Look, the real culprit here is China. They're the ones who were misleading everybody. And I would just like to see many of those reporters and many Democrats, frankly, worry about China rather than Trump, because the real culprit, and we're going to have to deal with it at some point, is China. China is the problem, and that's what we should be focusing on, because they clearly did not come clean with this information. And as a consequence of that, you've got Italy and you've got Spain. That's what happens because China lied, and of course, we in the United States with over 20,000 people. So I thought it was great today. The briefing was absolutely wonderful. Keep it up. And it was a good one. I think the media deserved it. They needed that. They needed to be slapped around like that after the Fauci farce that we saw from Jake Tapper over at CNN. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Thank you. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, getting back to the briefing. The other big point today about the briefing is this big debate about who has the authority, the governors or the president. Obviously, we have governors and we have mayors, and I think for the most part, they've all done a very good job. But when you get into this theoretical debate as to who has more authority, I guess it depends on the situation. But when the president of the United States declares a national emergency and every state in the union is operating under a national emergency, I think the president has the last word. I mean, we saw this in the Civil War. We saw this during World War II. We saw this, for example, a very small example of this back in 1992 when you had the riots in L.A. and the first President Bush came in and he federalized the state National Guard. I mean, he took control of it. He took it from the governor and he ran it. And then, of course, after 9/11, with the second President Bush. So I think the constitutional question is easy. I think the president has the ultimate authority in the case of a national emergency. Of course, the reality is, would it make sense for the president to have a national policy? I don't think so. I think there should be some guidelines, as they're apparently going to be setting up, and let the governors and the mayors then take it from there. Every state is different, and there will be different different solutions, maybe regional solutions to the issue. And I'm okay with that. I think that regional solutions or state solutions are okay. But on the question, there's no doubt that President Trump has the ultimate authority in terms of an emergency. And they got into a big debate about this. Some of the reporters, all of a sudden they learned about states' rights. What an interesting debate that was, but I think President Trump has the ultimate authority here as the president of the United States in a national emergency. Well, we go back a little bit in history on this day. Thomas Jefferson, the great Thomas Jefferson, was born on this day in 1743. He died, of course, on July the 4th, 1826, or the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, and was also the third vice president of the United States. On this day in 1954, here's a great trivia baseball question. On this day in 1954, Henry Aaron made his major league debut with the Milwaukee Brewers. He had been brought up to the majors to replace a veteran who was injured in spring training. And he made it to the team, and he started with the Milwaukee Braves, and hit his first or made his major league debut on this day in 1954. And on this day, if you're old enough to remember this, some of you saw the movie. I'm old enough to remember the real story. But back in 1970, April 13, 1970, this is the day that we got the news that the oxygen tank on Apollo 13 had exploded. And, you know, it was a very simple routine trip to space, or to the moon. This was supposed to be the third moon landing. Jim Lovell was on this, he was the captain of this mission, and all of a sudden the oxygen tank exploded, and of course everything changed, and you know we know the story of Apollo 13. At the point that the tank exploded, all their plans had to change, and then the only objective they had as of that point was to return to the Earth. And for the next 3 or 4 days, the entire country was literally obsessed with the fate of these three men in that small spaceship up there in space, fighting to return home. So Apollo 13, I think one of the great human stories of the 20th century, and also a great example of how teamwork can get things done. That was a tremendous amount of teamwork between the men up in that capsule and the men and women down at NASA in Houston. I mean, it was just great teamwork, and it makes me proud to say that. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.